Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Now that we have a mom hosting the show and not just a mother,
what?
We're going to remind you not to wait to the last minute to buy your Mother's Day gifts for the iOS lovers in your life.
It's time. Plus red versus blue in a battle to dominate the entire world.
And I have a one-handed texting app for your iPhone.
It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by CuriosityStream, a subscription streaming service that offers over 1,400 documentaries and nonfiction series from the world's best filmmakers. Get unlimited access starting at just $2.99 a month. And for our audience, the first 2 months are completely free when you sign up at CuriosityStream.com/twit and use the offer code TWIT. And by Automatic, the connected car company that improves your driving and integrates your car into your digital life. For more information, visit automatic.com/twit and enter the code TWIT to get 20% off your purchase. Jeez, I broke my microphone. Woohoo! It's time for iOS Today. Mm-hmm. This is the show where we get together to talk about iPhone, Apple Watch, Apple TV, and of course, our iPads.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the iPads.
Today is not Mother's Day.
No,
but
it's
soon.
2 weeks. I like for people buying gifts for their mothers to be prepared.
Usually we do this show like one day before Mother's Day, and you don't have time to do anything, so... Megan said, should we do a Mother's Day show? I said, but this guy, I don't have to... Oh, yeah, maybe we should.
It's 2 weeks.
Maybe we should, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, we're talking about apps to help you honor your mom.
Right, and some products, too.
Okay.
So, like, the pink iPad. I mean, what mom doesn't want the little baby pink iPad Pro?
Not just an iPad. There's other pink stuff.
There is, yes. But the iPad Pro, I think both of our mothers have one.
I gave my mom a pink one.
Mm-hmm. My dad gave my mom one.
No, by the way, my mom loves it. But then, on the other day, I was on FaceTime with her. We were talking on FaceTime. And I'm saying, well, you know, there's the cameras on the front of it. And she said, I don't see a camera. I said, well, you know, you got the white frame and a black dot right in the middle of it. She said, you know, I mean, this is pretty easy on the white one. She said, no, I have a black frame. I said, but Mom, I gave you a rose iPad Pro that has a white. No, I have a black frame. And then I realized she was using the old iPad I gave her years ago.
And the pencil wasn't working with it, and that's why.
No. She said, oh, no, I saved the iPad for drawing and important stuff. Not for talking to you. And I said, Mom, you can use the iPad all the time. You don't have to have a good iPad and an everyday iPad. But no, that's how my mom does it.
I'm interesting. Not,
you know, she was using the everyday iPad.
Well, who does she talk to on the special iPad?
I wonder. I did mention that the camera is much better on the newer iPads than on that old one. But it's fine. I mean, she doesn't want me to see her anyway. Half the time she's pointing it at the ceiling. Mm-hmm. She hasn't quite figured out in FaceTime. Love my mom. But she's 83, and technology is kind of new to her, that the picture she sees on the screen, you know, I'm the big picture and there's a little picture, that's her. And she doesn't really understand that when she's talking to me and she's pointing at the ceiling and it shows the ceiling on the screen, that's what I'm seeing. And I explain it to her, but, you know, it's fine. She said, oh, I don't want you to see me. I said, well, why are we doing FaceTime? Anyway, it's because I want to see you.
That makes sense.
It does. I love my mom, and I've already sent her a Mother's Day card. I'm going to show you how you could do that. It's not a last-minute thing, but pretty close to the last minute.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking last minute today, but no. You can still order the iPad Pro. My mom has the 13-inch iPad Pro. She really loves it. And if you already have the iPad Pro and you're more in the $100 range.
There you go. A pencil.
A pencil.
Yeah.
For your mom.
Or a keyboard if she doesn't have it yet.
Yes.
The keyboard. So there's a debate whether you should get the big one, the Logitech Create keyboard, and there are other third-party keyboards out there now, or get the one that Apple sends. And you know, I noticed we're both using the Apple keyboard, mm-hmm. which at first I poo-pooed. I thought, oh, you're not going to want that. But it is kind of convenient because it's so thin and light, right? I can carry this around. And it's fine. It's better than I thought for typing, to be honest with you. I give it I have to give it more credit. So because it's so compact, I actually, this is a good gift. It's a little pricey, right? It's $160, $170.
Mm, but maybe Canadian,
it,
not sure.
Yeah, it's a little pricey, but it looks, I think it looks good. So yeah, think about accessories. Or maybe that camera connection dongle that allows you to use all sorts of other USB devices. Mm-hmm. If mom's kind of geeky that way, does she take a lot of pictures? That would be a good thing.
Also, the Apple Watch also comes in pink.
Yeah.
And that, I think that would be a good gift. It's a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out with one anytime soon. Or if your mom already has an Apple Watch, then a band.
I was thinking, yeah, and these new nylon bands are very pretty. I mean, I think
I tried the nylon band. I didn't love it, but many people do.
But some people do.
Sporty band.
You spend a little money, I get the Hermes. That'd mm-hmm. be nice. Mm-hmm. The Double Tour.
Yeah, now it's only $450. I think that's what the Double Tour is.
That's the band only, not a watch and band? No, that's the watch and band.
No, the watch and band is like $1,200.
Okay.
Just the band itself, I think, starts at $450. The Hermes band starts at $450.
That's pretty expensive.
I'm still waiting for someone to love me enough to buy that
for
me.
Well, yeah. Okay. But if you love your mom, right?
Yes, exactly. That's how you'd show her.
My mom would say, could you give me an Hermes scarf instead? I'd much rather have that than the leather watch band.
Do you have something in that box that would be good for mom?
I might. What do you think?
Let's open it and find out.
This I gave to the other mom in my life, my wife.
Mm. Oh, is it supposed to be a surprise?
Well, she said I could open it.
Okay.
So.
Then I guess it's not a surprise.
Yeah, but this is her Mother's Day gift. And I think this is actually going to be pretty exciting. It is kind of rude of me to open her Mother's Day gift. But she said, well, for purposes of the show, you can open. This is the new MacBook.
It's very pretty.
Lisa loves her MacBook. Now, this is a ask your mom before you get it for her. Because I don't want to say it's acquired taste, but it has to be for somebody who prizes lightweight. Versus, say, having all the connectors or having more speed or a better keyboard. But I know Lisa loves her old Mac Pro. And I thought, well, MacBook, I should say. But they've updated it. She loves speed. And I got her the top of the line. This is the M7 processor. I was talking to Serenity Caldwell. It was Christina Warren from Mashable on Twit yesterday. And she says in our benchmarks, about 15 to 20% faster. So that's a lot faster. And, of course, it is absolutely appropriate for Mother's Day because it's rose gold.
Pink.
Now
she has all the pink things.
Baby. Does baby want a Mother's Day gift?
So it's got only one connector, a USB-C connector. Can you show what that looks like?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I really was hoping Apple would put a second connector on the other side where there is room for it.
But she doesn't need anything else.
I got her a nice little dongle. By the way, that would be another nice gift. A number of companies make dongles designed for this USB-C connector to give it more capabilities, including, you know, USB and camera card readers. What she uses hers for is a camera card reader. So she likes to take pictures. And then, for instance, at the Butter and Eggs Day Parade on Saturday, she took a lot of pictures. She came back to work and was loading it in her MacBook and already uploading the images. So these start at $12.99, but if you want to get an M7, that's a little bit more. I got the 512 gig hard drive, a little bit more storage because she uses it for her photography. But I'm a big fan of these. I really like these. I do kind of wish Apple had added a second USB-C connector. But, you know, if you don't mind, here's the thinking, because I can read Johnny Ive's mind. We wanted to do a laptop that was as streamlined as possible. And most of the time when you're using it, you're not connecting anything, right? We could put good battery life in here. It's about 9 hours. This one is apparently an hour longer than the one she has. So great battery life. So most of the time it's light, thin, you're carrying it around, you're not connecting it. And when you need to connect it, because it's a Type-C connector, you can have many USB devices, including a power device, connected to this at the same time. So why put extra connectors on there? Why not just keep it as streamlined as possible? And I think that that's true. I'll show you the connector. Oh, thank you. Wow. This is still hot, so you obviously took this off your laptop. This is the connector that Lisa uses, but you know what? I'm going to have to get her a new one. Because hers is gold, and I have to get her a rose gold. These do match finish of the laptop. This is from a company. Actually, this is a different one. You have a different one than the one I have. But it does exactly the same thing. And this is what you're going to look for if you get a connector. And this would be a great gift if mom has a MacBook. If you're going to get a connector, make sure that the Type-C on the other end, so this goes into the MacBook, also powers it more than just having a Type-C USB cable. And you see it has both kinds of SD card memory, the little tiny one for phones and the big one for cameras, and two USB 3.1 ports. That's a nice thing. The one I have here, I'll get it for you. The one I have is from a company. This one, who's this from? It's from Mobi. Yeah. But you know, I have to say, it looks exactly the same as the one I use. So now I'm wondering maybe if they're licensing it or if it's all made by the same Chinese company. This one is the one I got originally, which is from a company called HyperDrive, the USB-C Type 5-in-1 port. But boy, they sure do look the same, don't they?
And how much are those?
I think it was $60. So, you know what? I'm thinking, so you got this from Mobi. I got this from HyperDrive. I'd get it for whoever has it the cheapest because, you know what? These are clearly the same device, just different branding.
And you don't have to worry about the USB-C connector problem that we're destroying.
Right. No, not an issue. Although, it's not the MacBook that you have to worry about. It's the device you're connecting to the MacBook that actually could hurt the MacBook. And I would be a little careful about fast charging devices, like, for instance, the new HTC 10 phone and the LG G5, both of which use a Type-C connector, but do fast charging. Thank you, Jason. Do fast charging. And that is not in the spec. This is complicated. But the potential is not to damage the phone, the thing you're connecting it to, but to damage the more expensive laptop by drawing too much power from it. I am sure Apple has put over voltage protection in here, and it's probably not a risk. But there's something to be aware of. Probably not a good idea to try the... Any phone that uses Qualcomm fast charging over a Type-C connector is out of spec and is potential risk. But there you go. There's the that's a Mother's Day gift for a mother you really like.
I was going to say, draw a picture of the mother that you'd give a MacBook to versus an iPad to.
Well, can I say this is not any difference in price from an iPad Pro with a keyboard and a pencil? That's pretty much the same price.
But that's for the mom CEO. For the mom who works at home, freelances.
This is a nice laptop. 2 pounds. Very lightweight. You have to get used to the keyboard is the only negative. But, yeah, there you go. I guess Lisa's going to want this now. Oh, well.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some apps. Here's an app that I think would be good for a new mom. You've talked about it before. Day One.
Love this. Journaling. It's a journaling app, but you're right. For a new mom, that would be great.
And they just came out with a new version, Day One, too, which I think we've talked about. But Day One is super easy journal app for your iPad and for your iPhone. And these even has an Apple Watch app. So... I have a little, here are my NAB memories that I added in there.
And, of course, you're thinking that if you have a newborn, these would be pictures of your...
Right, your baby. These are just not my baby. This was my view from my hotel room.
Nice. But what a great way to keep memories,
super
right?
Easy, and you can say where you are. You can say, you know, it even says, like, the weather, what the weather was like outside. You can add your activity, also important for a new mom. So really easy to use. And it is not free. I think it is about $4.99, but I can check that. It is $4.99.
That's not bad.
No, and I mean this is great because your other option for new moms, which a lot of people default to, which wasn't around when either of us were new parents, is just Facebook or Instagram, and you want to really think twice about you before you put your baby pictures on the internet. I had a picture of my boys when they were babies in diapers on YouTube, and it's been on there forever. And I just read one of the comments, and it said, "Huck's in my class." And I said, I had to say to my child, "Oh, by the way, Huck, I have a picture of you in your diaper. Now he's 11, and a girl in your class just commented on it." And so
embarrassing.
So don't let that be you. So Day One, it's a private journal, because I think when you're, you know, sleep deprived, you're a new mom, you don't even think about what's my kid going to think in 13 years when I have his pictures all over the internet. So don't be like me and consider a private journal like Day One.
Now, I have to say that I love Day One, but the only thing that worries me is it's digital And it's stored in a format that you have to either have day one to read, or you have to have the foresight to export it out of day one. It does have export so that you could read it, but you'd need a computer, you'd need the data. And I have to say, I've been convinced that there's a value to printed stuff in terms of long term. And we were talking to Bill Atkinson, of course, the developer of HyperCard and early Mac team member, and he has a program which I've picked before as my app cap called PhotoCard. This is how I sent a Mother's Day card to my mom. I wanted a card for my mom that I could send with a picture on it. This is the picture I chose of me and my mom.
Aww.
Aww. And then on the back, you know, some roses, because it has stickers and stuff. You can email it, but I would recommend sending a printed version of this, because it's really nice for mom to have something she could put on the mantle or put on the breakfast table. And, you know, I'm not going to send her a picture just me, although she might prefer that. I did send her another picture before this of the grandkids. But I just think that this is kind of a nice thing for her to get. This is allow about 10 days, 1 week to 10 days for this to go out. So if you download PhotoCard right now and you buy some, it takes 2 credits to mail in the United States, 3 to mail internationally. Do it today or the next day in order for mom to get it. But if you don't get around to that, you can do an email. And this is something that Bill taught me. If you send the postcard by email, you can add on it, there's a little switch that says offer printed cards with emails. And so she'll get this email. In fact, I'll show you what it would look like, because it'll do a sample one. And then it says in the email, Leo Laporte, I wish it said Sunny Boy, but it says Leo Laporte has offered you a gift to receive a free printed version of this postcard. Tap here. So if she said, oh, I like that picture. See, this is everything. This is the whole postcard in an email. But she could also get the printed version of it if she decided to. So if you don't get around to this till right before Mother's Day, actually, I can edit this so I could say, hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. I offer you a gift. It's not really the greatest thing. By the way. So something like that. And you can, it's nice because you can alter it before you send it. Happy Mother's Day. I call it Monther's Day because it's the month of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's fix that. And then, so then you can do that. And that, so this is a nice, like, last minute card, because you could send it via email, but she also has the opportunity to print it out later too. So that's a free app called PhotoCard. It's free to send the email, so free. But if you want that printing thing, you have to buy 2 credits in the U.S. and 3 credits. And I want to give Bill another plug, because this is nice. And it's really true that there's something about having this is more permanent if you print it out, right?
Yes. Well, I have another thing that you can print out. Uh-huh. Make a book! Not just a card, but a book. Mothers love photo books. Because that is the thing.
You know what? That would be a great gift.
So, a few,
I should do that.
You still have time.
Is there time,
really?
That's
the beauty
of
this. There's still time. Okay, so I showed you an app called Clean a few weeks ago. Do you remember that? Where you could, it was like Tinder for your photos.
Yeah.
Where you could just swipe up. I love that one. I'm going to think about that one later. Love that photo of me.
Oh, who wouldn't love that?
and then, you know, throw those away. I want to favorite that butter and eggs day. And then you take all your favorites and you make them into a book, which I did.
And you already did it.
Yes. And here it is.
Oh,
so
that's neat.
I went to D.C.
Oh, see, Mom
and,
would love that.
I made this photo book, and it was cheap. It's paperback, as you can see. It's not like a fancy, but it's good. It's like $18 or something. And super easy to make. I don't know if you remember, like, making the photo books. They took forever.
How's the quality? It looks pretty good. The print quality looks
pretty good.
I think
it's pretty good for the size of it.
How much did that cost?
It was $18.
That's not bad at all.
No, not bad at all. And this is a lot of pages. I don't know how many pages, but, you know, it goes up. I think it's like $10 for 10 pages or something like that. So, yeah. And these were all photos I took with my iPhone, so I think they look pretty good. You can order that. It came in a few days. It was great.
What's the name of the app?
It's Clean. CLEEN.
But I should point out that they're probably using a service that other apps use as well. You'd have to find those other apps, but this really looks good.
So
I'm going to use Clean. That really looks good.
They're using a service that other apps use as well? What do you mean?
No, none of these companies do their own printing. There are a lot of I mean, a lot of apps that will print books for you, including the Apple apps. Does it say who makes the
book? Just says cleanapp.com.
Yeah, maybe they...
On the back.
I doubt they do it themselves. But maybe this is clean free?
The app is free, I think.
Where'd all the text come from that's in here?
The text?
Yeah, like this. It's got a long thing about Martin Luther King. Did you...
Oh, no, that was a picture.
Oh, it's a picture of
that's
text.
That's a photo in the old executive office building. It was a photo with it. No, so I didn't.
So you didn't put any text in here.
You could add text if you wanted to, but I, you know, that's what takes forever for me, adding the text. And then it's, I just really wanted
done.
To. So, yeah, I'll show you what the app looks like when I'm making the book.
But I'm just saying that you can do this in other apps.
Yes,
Apple's
for sure.
Photos apps. Apple uses very good quality printing.
But it's a little more expensive, I think.
But it's more expensive. This is maybe not the greatest quality printing, but... Probably, I mean, it's as good as a magazine. A mom,
so
mom.
It's for a mom that you kind of like. All
only
right.
for the mom that you're not crazy about.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. This is nice. Are you gonna save that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just made that for Milo to, you know, take to school.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because it was like here. I went to D.C. and you know, and
this is really nice.
But yeah, it's and you'd make it all through the app too. So I have the app open here, and it's super easy. Like you just swipe to move it around, or you know, switch the pictures. You know, I used to use Shutterfly a lot to make photo books,
right.
And that would just literally take forever until
I'm a fan.
I'm
a fan. I think printed images is really nice to have.
I like that this combines the aspect of cleaning out your photos with ordering a book.
Yes.
Simplifies it.
Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you another thing that I like to do with the people I love. Unfortunately, my mom's in Rhode Island, so I can't take her to dinner. But if you want to take your mom out to dinner, can I recommend Open Table?
Great idea.
More and more people use Open Table. I mean, by which I mean more restaurants use Open Table. So you can almost always find a table where you're going to be. Here, this is just Petaluma. And you could specify, you know, what's the time frame? I want a table for 4. Tomorrow, let's make it Mother's Day. What do you say? What day is that? May 8th. At 6 p.m., because mom is kind of an early bird. And let's see what's available. It'll show you all the availabilities, all the restaurants. There's reviews, there's maps. These are all Petaluma restaurants. And you can pick a time, just press the button to say, oh, let's make it 6 p.m. at Central Market. And it'll make this reservation for you. What's even better is it'll show you the full menu, the photos, and it will send mom or whoever you're taking to dinner a nice email. In fact, you could even make it a gift card if you want. And that's a way to buy mom dinner even if you're not there, which would be a great thing. In fact, I think I'm going to do this because I'm not going to be there for my mom, but I could send this to my sister and say, "Hey, would you take mom out to dinner and I'll pay for both of you?" So this is kind of cool. You can both send a gift card of a dinner or make a reservation for a dinner. I'm a huge fan of Open Table. In fact, we frequently use this last minute. I want to go out, and you could see what's available in the neighborhood you want. Let's try. Mom lives in Cranston, so let's say Cranston. Let's say Providence, which is the big city. There we go, Providence, Rhode Island. So, see how easy this is to get mom a table for Mother's Day, and pick a restaurant, and then send her a gift card. Don't you think that's kind of cool?
That's a great. I would like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Open Table, there's a website, opentable.com, but the app makes this very easy. And I like having it on my phone. I can always pick a restaurant.
You know what goes well with dinner?
What goes well with dinner?
Booze.
That is a mighty big bottle of booze you have there, little lady.
You know what else moms like?
What? Guzzling champagne.
But you want to buy a good bottle of wine for your wine
that,
making
mom. By the way... Well, I'd be curious.
You want to see what the app...
How good is that bottle of wine?
So this is an app called Vivino.
I love Vivino. I use it all the time. It's the only one that I know of that you could take a picture of the label and it'll tell you about the wine.
So let's...
you think Vivino will know cooks champagne?
We'll try it and see.
I have another bottle of wine if you...
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
I carry wine with me at all times.
Great. Okay, let's see what the cook says.
Oh, that's not going to be so good, is it?
Let's see.
I think it cost us like $3. That's a crappy picture. If it could figure out what kind of wine it is from that.
Voila.
Your
average price.
$6.69 for a gallon.
Is that what it is? A gallon?
It's a magnum.
It's a magnum of... This is
Holy
for a mom
cow.
That you like
That is the
only
cheapest champagne ever.
So it tells me I can rate it. say how I like it.
It's got high ratings-ish.
It's got some reviews.
What do they say?
Good for mimosas.
Good for
Mother's
mimosas.
Day brunch.
Yeah, you don't really care what's in your mimosa.
No fail bubbles. So do you want to try...
Should we try another one?
Well, you know what else it does? It lets you compare.
Oh, like so...
Yeah, so let's compare. So let's...
Compare it to this. Okay. This isn't bubbly.
Well, this it'll is, give you...
Here, I'll hold it. Oh, you
don't. You're not going to let go
not
of
gonna
it.
I'm not going to let you go.
So this is my Mother's Day.
This is a wine from... You can have it for Mother's Day.
Okay.
This is a wine from Napa. It's a local wine. We here live in wine country up here. In the
okay,
Sonoma
so County. I have several that have been... Okay, so this is an avant-garde Pinot Noir.
This is the avant-garde Noirs. From okay. Carneros.
So,
Domaine Carneros.
Interesting. That's got only a rating of 2.8.
It's not as good. Wait a minute. Really?
Then,
that bad?
Well,
that's not even
that's
as good as the Cook's.
I mean, I'm sure they're rating it too.
How much a bottle?
Let's see. Average
I'm gonna
price.
Get really
it doesn't
depressed.
Even say.
I'm going to get so depressed.
It doesn't say what the average price of the
I
bottle is.
I was going to give you this as a gift, and now.
Now you are going to get
it. Now I'm going to give you the Cook's
we
champagne.
Also tried to test it with some Lysol. Don't drink that. That did not work.
I should say don't drink that.
But
though.
Then this other bottle that we had here
all right, let's
that
try
somebody
another bottle.
Drank, the famous Gate.
Here, let me
that's
hold
a 4.
That for
4.
You.
Let's...
It's nice if you have a partner to hold the wine.
That's
while
true.
I'm taking a picture.
Mm-hmm. Let's try that. The famous Gate.
This is actually
Domaine
great when
Carneros.
You go to a restaurant and you have some wine, just to kind of know what people think. And
4.2.
Wow.
That's $69.58.
Where did you find this?
This app? Or
no,
that bottle?
Wine.
That was in the with the other drunk booze in the kitchen
it's
at
empty.
The office.
Why would somebody put an empty bottle of wine back in our liquor cabinet?
I don't know. They don't work for me. They work for
yeah.
you. So.
Yeah.
We have a lot of options here, I think.
Really, this is a bad wine?
Well, no, it didn't say it was a bad wine.
It said it was a 2.8.
Yeah.
I'm depressed.
It didn't say the price either, so I don't know. I don't be. You know how much you paid for it?
Yeah, a lot.
You can also scan a restaurant wine list with this.
Oh, neat! You mean like the menu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, scan a restaurant. See that?
And Vivino. Is there anything it can't do?
No, except please you with that bottle of wine that you.
Well, it's honest. No, Vivino is great. Everybody, if you like wine and you want to know more about the wine you're drinking, or you find a wine that you like and you want to make sure you remember it, Vivino mm-hmm. is very good.
Right. So, yeah, moms like wine. 4 out of 5 moms like wine, so I hear.
It does seem to be the case, does it not?
All right, so let's talk about our sponsor, CuriosityStream.
Oh, I love CuriosityStream. Have you been watching?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been watching. I'll tell you what, CuriosityStream is a kind of a Netflix for documentaries. It's the world's first ad-free non-fiction streaming service. And you know it's going to be good. It was created by the founder of the Discovery Channel, John Hendricks. And he has loaded it up with over 1,400 titles, 600 hours of content, more coming all the time. One of the nice things, this unlike some of those other sites, is available almost completely worldwide, 196 countries. And you can watch it in a variety of ways. Of course, on your browser, but also on your Roku, an Android or iOS phone, on your Chromecast, your Amazon Fire, your Amazon Kindle, and of course Apple TV. It's an app on Apple TV. There's a lot of science and technology content. We know you love that. Nature, history. And by the way, I know a lot of you now are getting these new 4K TVs. This is perhaps the best 4K library on the internet. They've just launched over 50 hours of beautiful 4K content you're going to want to watch. Look at this. Is that a 4K? That looks beautiful. Should we colonize? Can we colonize Mars? That is beautiful. You can see the ratings so you'll know ahead of time. That looks 4K. That looks really, really good. They have documentaries, but they also have interviews. They have lectures. Stephen Hawking's Universe, that was a great series. Stephen Hawking traces the history of astronomical theories and technology. Michio Kaku's Next World, fabulous series. Our friend Rick Smolin, remember he wrote the Human Face of Big Data? He has that Big Data book. Mm-hmm. That documentary is exclusively, you can't watch it anywhere but CuriosityStream. Jason Silver, The Road to the Singularity. Love that. I started watching that. Monthly and annual plans available. And get this, inexpensive, $2.99 a month, but... which is less than a cup of coffee, but I got a really good deal for you. Go to curiositystream.com/twit. Use our offer code TWIT, and you have 2 months free. Mm-hmm. Not 1 month, not 1 week, 2 months, 60 days free. So there's no reason not to do this. CuriosityStream.com/twit. And don't forget to use the offer code TWIT at checkout. What a great deal.
Yeah, before you sign up, you can also do, you can watch samples of them.
Yeah. No, it's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah. If you've got kids, your kids' age.
It's great.
It's just great. You can distract them from South Park and say, oh, instead of that, let's watch Mars.
Yeah, the earlier the better, too, because they, you know, for when they're little, they just think watching anything
is amazing. Right.
So.
Oh, there's pictures on the screen that are moving.
Yeah. So
they soon grow out of that.
All right, so we got a little bit of news and a few questions. So Apple has a China problem now. Have you read this news?
Yeah, but it changes all the time. But as of now, iBooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And iTunes blocked
movies.
The music blocked in China.
Movies, I think.
Movies,
I think
not movies, not music. Because the issue is, let's face it, the issue is propaganda. They don't want you to. They don't want the people in China to see movies or read books that are not completely complimentary to the current regime. That is a shame. Of course, one of the things that is the case, I'm told, in China, is that when they do stuff like this, a certain segment of the Chinese, the most educated, the most technically literate, know how to get around it.
A VPN.
They can get around it. They can use other ways to see this content. They find ways to do it. And I am told that the regime in China doesn't mind that. They understand the elites are going to be able to watch this. They want to keep it out of the hands of the peasants. And one thing that it is true is, I noticed this when we were in China in 2009, we went to a very small agricultural village, a farm village. They all had big screen TVs. So, this is something that they're doing is watching streaming content. And I can see why the regime, we were there, we were watching CNN. It just goes black all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. 3 minutes later, it comes back on. And everybody in China is used to that. There's a lot of censorship. And I'm sorry to hear that. But it's not surprising.
But it might come back up. But it is.
I think it'll come back because it goes back and forth.
Do you think it's just kind of a warning or like,
no.
Look what we can do? Do you think it's like a portent of things to come?
I don't know. The winds of change blow in China back and forth. So there's I'm not an expert, but there are different factions. Some of them want to open China more, realize that the future is in an open country with free and open access to the Internet. I believe that. And then some of them say, yeah, it's not a good idea. It's going to cause discontent. We've got to really kind of constrain what our people can see. And I think that those factions go back and forth. Sometimes one person's in power, sometimes another. And so the restrictions go back and forth. When we went to China in 2009, Facebook and Twitter wide open until the Uyghur revolt in the west of China. And all of a sudden, Facebook's gone, Twitter's gone. There was no way. CNN started getting censored. So it's funny. It changes, and of course, it comes and goes.
What do you think their public fight about encryption? Do you think that has had an effect on this? Do you think
that's a whole political battle going back and forth? You know, we hack them, they hack us.
Yeah.
We know that. In fact, they get a little angry when we make this big deal about Chinese government hacking and spying. They say, "You're doing it to us. Mm-hmm. This is just what happens."
Well. We were going to talk about this on the Screensavers, which I hosted you with you yesterday, but we didn't talk about it. But I thought maybe we could talk about it today. There was a story about iPhone recycling that a lot of the news got wrong.
Yeah, we talked about this on Twit also.
You did.
So Apple put out a press release about their environmental initiatives. Remember Liam, the iPhone
recycling robot?
And in the press release, they said, we've recovered this much data, this much gold, this much, precious metals. And then it was the press that did the calculation that said Apple makes $40 million in the gold that it recovers from iPhones. Well, this article on Motherboard pointed out, well, Apple, never said that. But what Apple said was this much has been recovered, but most of it is not being recovered by Apple. It's being recovered by other recyclers. In fact, what they pointed out, and I think this is a little bit of a link bait headline, almost nothing about the Apple harvest gold from iPhone story is true. That's link baity. Mm-hmm. Because I think Apple didn't make as much of a deal of it as the headline writers did. Other link bait.
So it's link baity about
link baity. Link bait fighting link bait. One thing that our friend John Graham Cumming did point out is that all of Apple's numbers in there which look very precise. You know, 534,273 pounds of zirconium, I'm making this up, were recovered. He then looked at it and said, wait a minute, though. If you put those numbers in metric tons, as the rest of the world would look at it, not in pounds, they're extremely round, 28,000 metric tons. He said all the numbers were round to like four or five zeros. These are metric tons numbers, but to make it look like they're more precise, they converted them to pounds. And then it looks like, oh, they must be actually counting.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, they're not. The article on the motherboard also points out that that Apple buys credits, much like carbon credits. They pay other recyclers to kind of offset the material that's being used in iPhones and things like that.
They have to do that.
They have to do that.
So they have to recycle a certain amount.
And if they don't, they can send money to recyclers.
So it's not Apple products that are even being recycled. It's like CRT monitors and stuff. So,
like 1.68% of the products, was it in China or the U.S.? I can't remember, were from Apple.
Yeah.
You know, a small fraction.
Right. So, well, I thought that was interesting because things, electronics are being recycled.
That's the good news. It might not be Apple products. That's the good news. And I'm sure, you know, let's be fair to Apple. I'm sure their commitment is to recycle more. And that Liam is not just a PR thing. They really would love to recycle more. It's good for their business, but it's good for the environment. And I know that they care.
They want to reuse more. I mean, they want to reuse more of the elements.
Well, that was another thing. In the Liam video, they show Liam removing screws from iPhones into a big pile of screws. And the implication being, even in the copy, it said, and they can be reused. They're not using those screws to make new iPhones, I promise you. Johnny Ive would have a fit.
Well, they were talking about the elements being used for solar panels and things like that.
The elements could be reused, but they actually implied that some of the parts might be reused. That is not going to be the case. The precision that these screws have to adhere to, the exact dimensions, see, it kind of implies that those screws are being saved.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're not saving the SIM trays to reuse in a new iPhone. Those will be recycled almost certainly.
All right, so now we have some questions. Andy from England wants to be able to monitor and moderate his 7-year-old on his iPod. He writes, I've seen a few apps that might fit the bill, Parent Kit and NetSanity, but I wondered if you had any views on either of these apps or any others out there in the world. I'm particularly interested in something that offers the ability to remote lock the device for those times when he isn't listening or just being a pickle.
Oh, watch out, because I'm going to press this button and your device will be locked. I don't know. Do you know?
So I would say if a child is, you know, and this
just
is
take
a young
the darn
child,
thing
yeah,
away from him.
Remote locking. it's time to just say, hand me your phone and I'm going to take
We still do that. Michael's 13 and bigger than me. He's a bruiser. So there will come sooner than later a time when he will say no. And I will say, okay, keep it. But right now we do. And
it's
I think that's
tricky.
The thing to do. It's hard to do,
yes.
But that's the thing to do is take it away.
But when they get older and you're depending on that as like call me when
How
you're
do
done
you get,
at school
yeah, you can't
or
take that away
you can
me.
Walk alone because yeah. you have a phone, it gets tricky. But yeah, a remote lock would be great. Now, I tried to review Disney Circle. That was the device that came out that was supposed to be able to...
I heard good things about this.
I have heard good things about it, too. I could not get it to work with my modem. Karsten took it home. He got it to work with his. So it just shows all the devices on your network, which was interesting. When Karsten logged in at his house, it showed all the devices on my network. So it somehow got in there.
Uh-huh.
But then it will let you, like, oh, I'm going to turn off my daughter's iPhone after 9 o'clock. I'm going to turn off my son's iPad, you know, after 7 o'clock. I'm going to turn off, you know, on every day after 4 o'clock. So I really wanted it to work. It's $99. I could not get it with my, because it had to work with my modem, and I don't, you know, that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's a mystery.
We've gotten emails that from people that do use it and say it's good, but we can't verify that. You know, Apple's router used to have that kind of access control list in it and timers in it. I think they've taken that out. I would check if you have an Apple router, but many routers do. And that's what we used when the kids were little. We would turn off the internet on their devices, not on mom and dad's, but on their devices at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told this story before and they'd howl, what happened to the internet? But we'd say, you know, at 10 p.m. it's time for bed. So look at the router's a good level to do that at. Look at the router level. I'll just, you know what, someday we'll have to find a list of routers that offer this kind of access control, because that's really what you want. The other way to do it is with opendns.com. They have free, but for a fee, even better parental controls that do the same kind of thing. And these work nicely because instead of having your individual device have its own DNS settings, you set the router to go through OpenDNS, and then everything in the network is affected or controlled by that. I think these are the most family-friendly settings. Family Shield is free, but you can pay for a more advanced feature. I think this is pretty good. And this is just merely changing your router and then going on the web. You use the same router, but you change the DNS settings in your router. Then you go on the web, and you turn on and off features. You see parental controls, built-in fraud and phishing protection, which I like. And, of course, it's a better DNS. Some people don't like it because OpenDNS will sometimes take your traffic. If you type a bad URL and there's no real site like that, it will send you to a page with similar URLs. That's a moneymaker for them. I don't find a problem with that. I really like OpenDNS. Mm-hmm. But try the free service and see if it works for you. And then if you want to pay $60 a year, you can.
I fully support turning off devices and going at the router level. I am not bought in on any of these, like NetSanity or any of these products that promise to spy on your kids.
I don't like them.
I don't like them. They've been some have gotten caught at like spying on you.
Right.
And I don't like teaching our kids that it's okay adults to spy on you. I mean, I think that it's really Roberto Baldwin was on Tech News Tonight, and he brought this up, which I thought was so fascinating. We are raising this generation of kids that thinks it's okay for an adult figure to, oh, I have Find My iPhone, I have you, I'm just Big Brother. Like, right. We're just adjusting them to this world where the authority figure is in charge and is spying on you, and then they get out into the real world and think that's okay in the real world. And, I mean, but it is, in terms of parent to parent, like, it's a personal choice. You get to decide.
That's what I would say. We can have a political opinion about whether it's right or wrong, but
yes.
I never judge a parent for, unless they're actually beating their children, I don't judge a parent for the tools they find they need to use. And, you know, if a kid is getting in trouble, if you're worried about the kid getting in, having drug problems or something like that, then I think it's fine to use whatever tool you need to protect your children. So I'm not going to judge a parent based on that. But I agree with you philosophically. It would be nice if you didn't have to go that far. Be proportionate, I guess.
Right.
And as long as your kids have been trustworthy up to now, there's no talk to them. Have the rules. Be very clear about what the rules are. I think that's important. There are even contracts online that you can get, internet use contracts and stuff that you can get. Now, a little kid, that's a different matter entirely. And sometimes with a little kid, you do have to protect. It's your job to protect them. You need to protect them.
Well, I think that when you hand over a device, you should say, hey, for the first year or 6 months or whatever, I'm going to be looking at it. Like,
right.
I will always have the password. I'm going to be checking in.
Roberto might say that's spying on your kids, but I also think
that's
parental.
I think it's the kind of, like, here's this phone, buy, and then secret spying is different. Then that's not spying. It's
right.
Like, here's the relationship that you and I and this
right.
phone have. It's ours.
No, I'm your mother.
I get to look at it, and together we'll look at it and say, oh, like, what's that, and what's, you know, that. I don't think that's spying. That's a relationship that you have and an expectation. And if, you know, and eventually they get older and they say, like, okay, you trust me, right? Let's not have you look occasionally at it.
As a parent of now grown children, I just don't judge anybody because that's hard. It is hard. And do what you can. You have one job, which is to keep them alive until they're 25 and try to keep them out of any permanent trouble. There will be temporary trouble. Just you don't want any permanent trouble. And so, you know, you have to use the tool that's appropriate
right.
for you and your child.
Yeah, that's the, as a parent, I judge everyone.
As a former parent.
That's my
parent.
Mother's right.
No,
I'm just kidding. But no, I think it is. And the kids will mess up. And they'll,
oh,
and it, and
they
it's
do.
Easier to
that's
mess
their,
up faster and bigger.
To. Yeah, that's their job, is to mess up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't learn anything, right? Mm-hmm. God knows, I mess up.
Okay, I got a couple more questions. Leo,
yes.
I bought the MV88.
Love it.
Sure.
Sure
because
microphone.
Of your recommendation. And
uh-oh.
I swear you said it. It was also, you also used it on your MacBook. How are you able to do that?
No. So I did say that one of the Motive microphones can be used on your MacBook, not this one. So they make several in this line. This is the SM58 that is designed entirely for Lightning. It has no other alternative. They make another one, which is kind of an old-fashioned looking microphone that comes with two different cables, a Lightning cable and a USB cable. That's the one. That's the Performer, the MV51, and that can be used. It's also a little more expensive. That can be used with a Macintosh as well as with a Lightning port. So now the MV88, that, by the way, is an excellent microphone and a really fun-looking microphone. It's designed like one of the old-fashioned Shure mics, and it does use the Motiv application. But no, the MV88 is specifically for an iPhone or an iPad, and I love it. It's a very good microphone, but yeah, I'm afraid you can't use it on your computer. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be, let me think, if there would be any kind of adapter. No, it's not. It's just not designed. It doesn't have it. That's why it's so small. You notice how big the 51 is. That's because it's got more circuitry in there. The this little one, that's all it can do.
One more question. RyGuy0184 on Twitter asks, I have an iPad Air 2. Is it worth it to go to the Pro?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I did, and I'm very happy. So here's what the Pro, and I presume you're talking about the 9.7-inch Pro. In other words, size will be the same. If you're talking about the bigger Pro, well, then it's obvious that a lot of screen real estate is the biggest difference. But let's say you're going from one 9.7-inch older iPad to the newer one. Much faster. The new iPad Pro is much faster. Like, a lot. Did I say it was faster? Much faster. Partly that's because, it has 2 gigs of RAM. I can't remember. I think the iPad 2 only, Air 2 only had 1 gig. But mostly it's because it has a super fast processor. Of course, you know that it also uses the Pen, which your Air will not. That may not be a feature that you use. It's not one that I use. I'm not an artist. I really don't have much use for the Pen. The keyboard is also a big thing. And you can't use this Apple keyboard on the Air 2 because the Pro has this new connector. You can see it over here if I show you this way. Maybe you can't. It's these little dots. That special connector is designed to go to the keyboard, and that's why this keyboard is not available for an iPad Air 2. There are third-party Bluetooth keyboards you can use, so it's not like you can't use a keyboard with the iPad Air 2. But if you want this kind of slim, light, never-needs-charging keyboard, this keyboard gets its power from the iPad, then you'll need to get the new iPad Pro. I'm very happy with the iPad Pro. I love this keyboard. I think that's the high utility on that. Not so much, but you do also notice a big difference in speed. Oh, I forgot the screen. DisplayMate just put out its review. You know, DisplayMate's a company that makes software for measuring and testing screens. They just put out the review of the new iPad Pro Junior's screen. Truly impressive with the words they use. They said this screen is remarkable. And it's doing something that no other iPad does. It's adjusting for the ambient light. DisplayMate said it does do that. It does it accurately. This is a hard thing to do, and they've done it right. But it also has the widest color gamut of any iPad, which means most accurate color reproduction. If you want a really good screen, that's another compelling reason to move from the iPad Air 2 to the new iPad Pro 9.7-inch. On the other hand, a lot of people are very happy with their existing iPad. And if none of the features I just described, the keyboard, the pen, the better screen, the faster processor, really make your heart sing, then stick with the iPad Air 2. This is one of the reasons iPad sales are down, is because these things go and go and go and last and last and last. And there's really not necessarily a good reason to upgrade. So I'm glad I upgraded. I think it's a great device. It's the best iPad I've ever had, and it's clearly the best iPad they've ever made. But it may not be so much better that you need to spend lots of money. It starts at $600 for the new iPad.
Well, we just got done talking to your kids about what they do and tracking them and what that means. One way you could have good conversations about their use of some kind of technology is automatic.
Yeah, well, if you've got a kid, learning to drive... Oh, my goodness.
You think you have a problem with the iPad?
Nothing.
No.
Annabelle is not old.
No,
yet.
My boys drive the driving mower.
That's
and they think
start.
That they
no,
don't
you know
drive
what?
A car. But
kids who come from a farm drive better because they start earlier, right? when your kid gets to 15 and a half in California, whatever that age is in the state or country you live in, 16 thereabouts, they're going to start driving. And wouldn't it be nice if you had a way to help them be better drivers? I'm not just talking about spying on them. This isn't actually great for spying on people. I'm talking about the automatic. It helps you and your kids be a better driver, also be a more informed driver. So the automatic, this little doohickey, attaches to a port that every car since 1996 has had, the OBD onboard diagnostics port. The OBD2 port is nominally for the technician at the, you know, the auto repair store where he plugs in his computer. But you know what? You can do it because guess what? You have a computer and you have the port. And with the automatic, you have the interface. It talks to your phone via Bluetooth. When a light comes on in your car, it tells you what that light does, what it means, what you should worry about. But it also keeps track of your trips. It will tell you when you get back from a trip how much you spent on that trip, how many miles you went. It even gives you a map of where you went. That would be one way you could kind of keep an eye on what your kids are doing. And I think it's great to educate them. The idea that, you know, that trip that you took to the mall, that cost you $12, is a really valuable thing. They'll never lose their car. I used the automatic the other day. We went to a town I hadn't been to in a long time, Walnut Creek over in the East Bay. And I parked the car, and then I forgot. Where did I park it? And I thought, oh, what am I going to do? I had the automatic. I fired it up. Oh, pressed the button, navigated me. I walked back to my car. It was no problem. And I was so glad I had the automatic. It'll also do things like warn you if you accelerate too much or you brake too hard. That's partly for gas mileage, for efficiency, but also, frankly, to let you know that you're driving poorly. It will tell you when you go over the speed limit. And I love this. If you get in an accident and you're always worried about your kids, right? They have 24/7 crash response. And none of this has a subscription. This is all part of the automatic. Now, normally $99.95, but when you use our offer code TWIT, you're going to save 20% at automatic.com/TWIT. The app is free. There's no charge for the 24/7 crash response. The commute analyzer, it tells you when you should leave for your destination in order to get to work on time. That's a great thing for teenagers, right? How to save money by making your commute more efficient. Do you remember when you were a kid, like you would scrape together $1.50 and buy a gallon of gas, right? That's all you could afford. You remember that? Now the kid's not in mystery anymore. They know exactly how much gas is left. You can even set it up to work with your Amazon Echo so that before you get in the car, you say, hey, how much gas is in the car? And it'll tell you. It works with If This Then That, the Amazon Echo, the Nest. If you keep track of business mileage, your mechanic and FreshBooks. It's just got an Apple Watch app, a Pebble app, Concur, Expensify also work with. I can go on and on. I'm not going to go on and on. Go get one. Go get one. Automatic.com/TWIT. And remember, you're going to save 20% when you use the offer code TWIT at checkout. I have my automatic on my car all the time. I love it.
I've got mine, too. I got a score of 37 last week.
That is not good.
No, it's not.
Holy
also,
cow.
I have a question, because when I was growing up, gas did not even cost a dollar.
I know.
So where is this $1.50 childhood you lived in? Or is that Massachusetts? Is that where you grew up?
No. Oh. You're probably right. I remember gas.
I remember when it was not a dollar when I was 16.
I remember it costing 33 cents a gallon.
All right, now's the time for us to wear hats.
Swear hats.
Wear hats and discuss our favorite app of the week.
Well, I think you should start, Ollie.
Okay. Well, this is awesome. This is called the Word Flow Keyboard. My phone is big, and I cannot normally reach all the way to do the typing that I need to do, so I'm doing a lot of this.
Why are you putting it at arm's length?
I don't know. That's a good question, but
I don't understand what you're saying. You can't reach to do all the typing?
So my hands are usually.
Oh, you mean sideways? You can't reach, like your fingers won't go all the way.
Yeah, they won't go all the way.
You don't have Shaquille O'Neal's hand spread.
There you go. So here is this keyboard, and I customized it with your picture. This is the Word Flow. That's you under there.
What the what?
That this is the Word weirdest. Flow keyboard.
It's kind of like curved around
the
corner.
Yeah, so that
of the
I
screen.
Can. Yeah.
Oh, I get it. You could thumb type.
Yes. Thumb type with one hand.
Do you find that works well?
Yeah. Yes, I do find that. Except for the... Okay, so let's...
So that would really be great while you're trying to drive. You know, you keep one hand on the wheel.
No. Not for texting and driving.
No.
But so I was showing Anthony this before and Josh, and they made the point that third-party keyboards on iPhones are still annoying. But I haven't. He said after you use them for a while, they don't work as well.
I found that too, and it really bugs me because I really want to use these third-party keyboards.
I like it. And it's predictive text, so, you know, it's.
Microsoft's doing some really interesting experimental keyboards. They have a.
I can still do my emoji.
Oh, look at that. I might have to get that. That actually looks pretty cool.
It's free. So
What's it called?
Wordflow keyboard. Let me see if I can show you how to. Because you don't have to have your picture on it.
But you can have any background you
right.
want.
Right. So here that I made one with this picture I took of a train. Or you can choose from their themes.
Probably what you'd want is like a texture or kind of a continuous image, right?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, so it has a straight keyboard too.
Yeah. It does have a straight keyboard. I just like this keyboard is.
So the features are background images and one-handed typing.
And predictive text.
And
swiping. You can do the swiping too.
Oh, it swipes too.
Yeah, it does swipe.
Oh, now you got me.
Yeah.
You had me at swiping.
Mm-hmm. What else does it do? It just came out this morning, so I probably should go through the tutorial and then maybe check in next week about how much I love it. But so far, I really like it. Wordflow. You have to allow full access. Most people probably know how to do the third-party keyboard. And you can press and hold the globe button to switch. That's how you switch. Wordflow. Try it. It's free.
I have a game.
Ooh.
Because I like to play. You may not know that to look at me. I look like a pretty serious guy.
You're wearing the shoes of a player or a player.
I'm a player.
Shoes and the hat together.
It's a look. I don't know what it says, but it's a look. So this is something just came out, Editor's Choice. And, you know, I always look at the Editor's Choice apps on the Apple Store. And, frankly, that's why they work so well. And, I have two choices. You want a game or you want to learn? Which would you like, education or fun?
Fun. Both. Fun.
I could give you both. I'll give you fun. This is called War Bits, and I'm always, you know, they always say, Apple says, oh, the greatest game ever, and I was a little bit suspicious. This one's $5. There's no in-app purchases. So I almost want to just kind of plug them for that. Like,
yes.
Good, a game I can buy and play, right? War Bits, it's red versus blue. You're blue. And the idea is we are going to play this. It's kind of a little bit like a tower defense. Advisor, we're being invaded. Jeez, this was supposed to be. Oh, I'm playing, replaying this one. That's all right. It's the Blue Whale Empire, sir. They've launched an attack on our sector.
Well, crud. Let's see what we're up against.
I guess I'm doing the tutorial again. So there's the blue guys. They're the bad guys. The Blue Whale Empire. They put ketchup on their eggs. Ketchup's good on your eggs. Anyway, so the idea is it's a turn-based game. It looks kind of silly and fun, but it actually is pretty deep strategy as you get more and more into it. So I'm going to move. I'm going to get out of the tutorial is what I'm going to do.
We wanted fun.
I didn't mean to get into the tutorial again. All right, so I'm going to go attack the enemy. Normally, you don't have to press this many buttons. All right. So I get to move each player once, all right? This player, I'm going to have him take over this village, right? I wish I hadn't pressed that button. There we go. I'm going to have him take over this village. Now, it takes him two moves because he gets 10 points a move, so he's half taken over. And I'm going to, let's go here. And attack this guy. Yeah. There we go. Okay. It's cartoon violence, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, now I've moved all three pieces, so I have to end the action and let the other guy take over. All right? End turn. So, I'm not a huge fan of turn-based games, but this one's kind of fun. Now, Blue Whale gets to do their thing. So he's starting to take over that village. Of course, it's good if you take over more villages, you get more resources. My turn again. First, I'm going to go. Well, let's stay there. I like it there. Let's go after this guy. Attack that guy here. I don't think I should get him too. Yeah,
that's the way to do it. And let's just capture this village here. Yeah, da, 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 da. Now that's mine, right? See, it's red. Looks kind of dopey. Looks kind of silly. You know what? It's kind of addictive fun.
It looks fun.
Does it?
What
I think
age
Milo
do you
and
think?
Huck.
Yeah.
Milo and Huck.
I mean, it looks like cartoons for kids, but it's confusing. So you'd have to be like. Eight
you have
or
to
nine.
Be a kid to understand it, right?
But maybe not too young.
Oh, he blew me away. That's bad.
What's it called?
Ah, I beat him. And these, they do, it turns out, put scrambled eggs and ketchup together.
I All like right. scrambled eggs with ketchup.
Shut
What's
up.
The game called?
I don't know. It's called Warbits. No, I don't want to play that again.
I always like the point in the show where you tell me to shut up.
Shut up. Did I say that? That's mean.
Were you talking to me
That's
or the
mean.
Game?
I was talking to the game. I'm not talking to you. You can also go head-to-head. You can play tag matches. And I'm signing to Game Center, so now I can play a tag match. So there's a lot of fun things you can do with this. Head-to-head means you can play against somebody like your friend and blow off steam in school. And the tag match you get to play against people online. And a lot of fun. Warbits. Somebody's saying it's like a game called Nuclear War on the Amiga. I never played that. But it is a turn-based strategy game that looks kind of goofy and silly, but actually is kind of deep and fun.
I like the war games.
Warbits. Let's play Warbits. It's kind of, you know, I like games that are a little bit original.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of original and different.
Yeah, I definitely like the no in-app purchases, no ads.
Hey, yeah, isn't that nice? No more ads.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. 40 custom maps. Head-to-head combat. More.
Well, I think we've reached the end of our iOS knowledge for
the week. I don't
know
how that happened.
We used it all up.
We got all gone. It's all gone. I'm empty.
Yeah, I love getting your questions. You can just email me at megan@twit.tv, and I will collect them and present them to Leo or perhaps answer them to myself. And send us videos.
Do you answer email during the week?
Yeah.
Nice.
And tweets, too. I'm nice. Megan Maroney on Twitter, and feel free to tweet, or I take all DMs. I am an open book.
That sounds kind of perverted.
Really?
I am not an open book. Do not DM me. DM her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And come and watch live at live.twit.tv or watching your podcast, downloading your podcast app. We're on Mondays at 12:30. If you happen to have downloaded this and you think, I want to see the action live where things really go crazy.
No, you don't. Trust me.
Yeah, you'll find us at some point in the afternoon here. And if you are watching live, stick around for Tech News Today, which will be in 3 minutes.
Minutes away. Tech News Today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today.